Good morning. If you could turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33, we're going to start at verse 12. And go to 17. So verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, 'I've known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.' Now therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" The Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we just give you praise this morning, Lord, and we just want to seek after you, Lord. We pray that you would just come and meet with us, whether it be your presence or a revelation from your word, Lord. We just want to offer ourselves to just whatever you have in store for us this morning. We thank you, and we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this verse, maybe not super famous, but is very famous here at SP. If you're familiar and you've gone through our discipleships at SP, we start with GIC and then we do EG. And EG is personally taught by our lead pastor, Pastor Sam. And EG, which stands for Experiencing God, its focus is very much on experiencing God, but also about how we approach our faith with God. And it's very relational and intimate. And with no coincidence, on the cover of EG is Moses, right? And of course, Moses did many things, but I think perhaps the reason EG cover is Moses is because of this situation, right? And in this situation, prior to this verse, God is kind of like sick of it, right? He's just sick of the Israelites who are, you know, keep complaining, you know, where God reassures them, does, you know, comes through in like the most magnificent way, and time again, the Israelites just keep complaining. And finally, I mean, God doesn't, it's not even like, "That's it, I'm going to kill you guys." But he actually still loves the Israelites and wants to bless them, but he's just had it up to here with them. So he says, you know, I'll send out, basically he's going to still send out angels. Who here wants angels? But he still sends out the angels, and they're still going to enter the promised land, so they're still blessed. So his blessing, but he's like going to take a step back from the Israelites because they're basically driving him crazy. And in this verse, in these few verses, we always praise Moses so much for his response. Because in the end, given the choice of having the blessings, having, I guess, or the gifts, you could say, in the end, that wasn't enough for Moses. In the end, he wanted God, the giver. And really what he was after was the relationship. That was it. He didn't, in some ways, just the blessings and stuff, that was never his focus, and that was never his priority. I mean, question for us is, what are we really after right now? And I think we all know the right answer, which is, of course, we want the giver, not the gift. That's so vain. That's a terrible relationship. But obviously, our actions always speak louder than our words, right? And obviously, many of you guys, everyone here is at EMP today. So those are definitely some actions. But as much as we say we're after the relationship, if we don't spend quality time with God, if we're not seeking after his heart, seeking after his ways, seeking after his word, you know, praying, reading Bible, obeying his commands, then regardless of what we really think is important, right, even though we know that, oh yeah, it's all about relationship, you know, if you've been to SP, even if you're so sure of it, but if you don't do it, then that's not really your priority. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. But another reason that Moses, I think, really needed God, and I almost feel like as I read through this verse, it's almost like Moses is so exasperated and like, oh, like kind of like, how do you say, like, you know, it's almost like damage control, like end of the world, and he's like, no, God, don't leave me. You know, if you don't go, I'm not gonna go. Forget it. It's almost that, because I think he also had a really, not just dependent relationship, but a very needy relationship upon God. And I think it's even just the way their relationship was. And even if you look at Moses' circumstances, he was always kind of set apart from everyone. His whole life, right? He was, I guess you could say he was adopted. You know, he started his life. He grew up as a Jew amongst the Egyptians. Then he went off to a far-off land. And then he got married, started a family. But even then, that wasn't his, like, people, right? And then he finally came back to Egypt to lead the people out. And he has no relationship with these people, right? It's not like they have cultural and similarities. It's not like they come from the same social economic class. I mean, it's just he was called to lead them. So his whole life, even now, he's probably maybe a little lonely, I think, because he's also the leader of this group. And while he has this like tight relationship with God, the people are just different, right? And if you're ever in leadership, or maybe even at work, if you're someone more senior or you have juniors under you, you come to realize there can be some loneliness on top. Like, you know, like even recently within the staff, this is kind of funny. I shouldn't be sharing this. But anyway, even Pastor Sam has shared with us that he had this other senior pastor friend, and how he would always eat lunch. Like, everyone in church is eating lunch together, but he would always be eating lunch alone for some reason. For some reason, people, I don't know, like, they were maybe afraid of him, or maybe that was, like, their boss, or I don't know. But for whatever reason, the senior pastor, in the amongst of, like, say, 100 people eating lunch, he would just always be eating alone. So Pastor Sam kind of shared, like, what I used to do is I would always approach him to eat lunch, and he'd be so happy to just, not just eat lunch, but he would even ask him just, hey, how are you doing? what's going on here in the life? I noticed this. And he'd be so happy to share and talk, right? And even as a result, Pastor Sam kind of pointed out, like, actually, sometimes I notice it's lunchtime, and then, like, everyone's gone for lunch, and I'm in the office by myself. We're like, oh, whoops. So we're like, and he's like, it's not that, you know, I'm just sharing, like, oh, this is kind of the situation, like, just of a more of observational thing. Not that he was, like, all needy or anything. But I think that's also the reality of being in leadership or being in someone in management is just quite naturally you end up being isolated. So I feel like even with if Moses, I mean, he's like the patriarch. So he's the leader. And at that point, like the one person who's always just really gotten Moses and really been there for him, it was God, right? It was God. So, anyway, end of the day, the presence was what Moses needed. So, he makes this, he advocates, not just for the Israelites, I think it was even more for himself, like, God, I need you. And then, God, I think his heart is changed, and he decides to go with Moses, and then Moses and God live happily ever after. Right? Wrong. Well, yes, they live happily, but if you look at what continues to happen, actually, things are still really hard for Moses, right? Like, Moses still disappoints God. He still goes through really tough situations where his family, you know, go against him. His people rebel. He goes through crazy situations where he has to handle, like, everyone's getting snake bitten and they're about to die from poison. So things are still crazy hard and difficult, even though now he has the presence of God. So why is the presence so important to Moses? Or even for us, why is the presence of God so important to us? Life's going to still be crazy hard. It's not going to be smooth sailing necessarily. So why is the presence so important? I mean, this is just one of the answers. That's not the absolute answer. But the reason the presence is so important is because we'll never have to experience it alone. Being alone is the hardest thing, right? Pastor Sam even shared briefly, he said, actually the toughest thing that we can ever experience and the worst form of torture is solitary confinement, where you're just separated from everyone. And even in my personal experience, because before I was Christian, actually the toughest thing was actually experiencing failure totally alone. Because if you experience failure totally alone, the conclusion is, like, basically, I suck, right? And the worst thing about experiencing success alone is you have no one to celebrate it with. And it just feels like it lasts like maybe like half a second. Actually, it's just like the reactionary moment of, yes, I did it. And then, okay. But when you have community, if you have someone to experience with, totally changes everything. So brothers and sisters, here's the crazy thing, is like this was such a, you could say, Kairos moment, such a defining point in Moses' life, right? It was a moment in his life, Kairos moment is like a defining moment with God. And this moment, it was either God's presence, like two trajectories, God's presence, no God's presence. And it was a Kairos moment, and then he got God's presence. Brothers and sisters, we have God's presence. We have God's presence. In Acts 2, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to just read verse 38. Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, "Or do you not know what your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body." So we have the Holy Spirit, and we didn't have to do anything. Well, we still had to do something, but we didn't have to like have this crazy... we didn't have to like contend and you know, really go before God and make these kind of the way Moses did it, like quite demanding. We have the presence because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. So we have it. And oftentimes we think assurance of salvation, right? I'm not saying the verse, but how we always think of, oh, how do you know if you have the assurance of salvation? We think, oh, it's if you died, would you go to heaven? And if you know that you died and went to heaven, then you have the assurance of salvation, right? But it's actually more than that. It's not just if you died and went to heaven. It's even right now, you can receive heaven on earth because Jesus is with you right now. So it's not just the assurance of when you died. It's even the assurance of right now. And for myself, that's exactly how I realized my assurance of salvation was I was on a, I've told this many times, but so I'm going to really keep it short. I was on a flight home, and we had bad turbulence, and I felt like, I realized in hindsight now, it wasn't that bad, but it was bad turbulence, and I really thought I was going to die. And then, you know, that fear creeps up on you, and you're about to go crazy. And then at that point, the Holy Spirit kind of reminded me. It's funny how, like, sometimes when we're in those, like, really crazy situations of stress or death or whatever, we don't naturally think of, like, oh, we have God. What's God doing? But luckily at that point, God reminded me. And I thought, same thing. I thought, oh, worst case scenario is I die and I go to heaven. Okay, not bad. Or the other worst case scenario is I live and I keep living life with God who is always by my side. And then I think it hit me how good life was. And I instantly fell asleep. The peace that transcends all understanding came upon me, and I fell asleep. And that's what we have today, brothers and sisters, even as we go off to work, right? I mean, worst case scenario, we fail, we get rejected, and God is still with you. And oftentimes, especially like in my house church, like who some are like, oh, so fearful about what that next step is. Should I do this? Should I do that? I almost want them, this sounds terrible, but I almost want them, or like, you know, as a guy, it's like, oh, asking a girl out, what if they reject me? It is a big deal, and it seems like a big deal. But I almost want them to do it and then fail and get rejected. And then they realize it's not that bad. Because God is with me, and he's not going to give up on me. He has a hope for me. He's not just like an act of God, but he'll actually like, he's doing something, and someone I can go to. And then the best case scenario is you succeed, and then you feel not just your community, but also God celebrating for you. I mean, this is incredible freedom and power that we have
in the way that we can live out our life. Even today, like as we go forward, what do we have to fear? So, if we could just prepare our hearts to worship. And as Yvaine leads us in worship, if we could just take a moment to meditate that the presence of God is with you. The presence of God will never leave you. He'll always be by your side. And with whatever stress, with whatever fears that you have, with whatever circumstances that feel out of your control, just let the Holy Spirit minister to you that the presence is with you. If you look at Moses' life, despite the hardships, despite the tough circumstances, yes, God was always faithful to him. And even for us, if we look back into our own lives, in hindsight, we can see the faithfulness of God as well. So let's take this moment just to respond to God's faithfulness and just cry it and just, I guess, declare to him not only to really just embrace the freedom that he's given us through his presence to overcome our any future circumstances, but also, even more importantly, is just to enjoy everything that we have right now, all the blessings that he has for us right now, the many things that are blessings and responsibilities that can sometimes feel like a burden, to be honest. Let's just embrace those responsibilities and blessings again and just enjoy them fully. Because I think that's what God intended for us. So let's just make that declaration to God. Let's turn to our community, and if we could lift up those on the slide to cover there, those who are dealing with cancer, love, and as well as dealing with chemo and radiation therapy. Cover the next slide. Those loved ones and members of SP who are dealing with illness and also need salvation in their lives. For those with infirmities. Let's also cover those who are still seeking out jobs. Let's go to our Thursday prayer focus. Let's cover our missions. We can lift up Cambodia, and we can lift up our SP missionary Grace and her organization Bloom. And you can also lift up the mission team that will be soon going to partner with them. And as well as, let's lift up Japan as well as Pastor Sophia, especially for her health. Let's cover the IP team, the Well team, as well as Cascade. You can cover their leadership as well as just as a team that they would hear from God, healing, protection, and anointing. Lift up our educational ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, as well as SPU. Let's pray for our outreaches tonight, SP Lights, and also Homey Outreach. Finally, let's pray for our Kupang Indonesia mission trip, which is happening now. And that's led for Pastor Salmat. Let's pray for team unity, a real heart to serve, as well as submission to the members, to their leaders. Father, Lord, we thank you for you, God. We thank you for your presence and just the impact that it has on our lives, Lord, to really face anything. And Lord, I just pray that that you continue to give us a deeper revelation of what it means just to have your presence always with us, Lord. And just the freedom that it enables us to walk in, Lord. And as we embrace that freedom, Lord, help us to respond to really glorify you, Lord, that we can be vulnerable, that we can put ourselves out there, that we can take, not risk, but really take steps of faith, Lord, whether it be with people or our circumstances, Lord. Help us and guide us today, Lord. Give us just the boldness and assurance, Lord, that you are with us as we step forth. We thank you, Lord, and we just want to give you just praise and glory and just really please you this day, Lord. We thank you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So please continue to just spend that time with God and